howdy, folks. Welcome to Honky Tonk Tales, the show that digs through the empty whiskey bottles and backstage dust to bring you the real stories behind country music's wildest legends. I'm Jimmy, and today we're talking about a man whose voice could shake the walls and whose fists sometimes did too. He was outlaw country before it was a marketing term. He shot a man, cussed out the IRS, trashed hotel rooms, skipped court dates, and somehow still had one of the most soulful voices in the honky-tonk circuit. Yeah, today we're going to be talking about Johnny Paycheck. But don't worry, you're in a safe space. You're in the place where the neon glows and the jukebox knows. Right here at Honky Tonk Tales, we're going to get into it in just a second. He was born Donald Eugene Little in Greenfield, Ohio, in 1938. Johnny Paycheck grew up with hard times as a house guest. His dad worked factory jobs. His mom tried to hold the home together, but poverty was constant. Now, he learned to play guitar at 6, and he wrote songs by 9, and was already known as a neighborhood spitfire. And at 15, he quit school. He joined the Navy, lied about his age to enlist, got bored of that fast, and punched a superior officer, which got him 2 years in the brig. Now let that sink in. The man hadn't hit legal drinking age yet and already had a military prison record. Now when he got out, he chased music full time. He bounced from Ohio to Nashville, singing in bars, sleeping in his car, hustling session gigs. In the early days, he played bass for Farron Young, Ray Price, and most famously, George Jones. Now, let's let that sink in for a minute, and let's start with some context. Touring with George Jones back then was like being in a band with a whiskey-fueled tornado, and Johnny Paycheck was the bad influence. You get that? Johnny was the bad influence. There's a story that the two of them once disappeared for 3 days on a beer run and missed 2 shows, 3 interviews, and a radio spot. Jones came back wearing somebody else's cowboy boots. Paycheck didn't come back for another day. But don't let the chaos fool you. Johnny had real talent, deep talent. He could sing high and pure, or low and gritty, and he could write heartbreak like he had it on tap. But just when his career started rolling in the 60s, drugs and booze started rolling faster. He got blacklisted from several Nashville venues for fighting backstage, not arguing, not yelling, fighting. One night in Texas, he was booked to play 2 shows. After the first set, he wandered off with a bottle of Old Granddad and came back 3 hours later, bleeding from a bar fight. Got on stage, sang 11 months and 29 days, and collapsed mid-song. Now the 70s brought a comeback and a breakdown. Paycheck signed with Epic Records and teamed up with producer Billy Sherrill, who somehow wrangled the chaos long enough to record gold. Hits like She's All I Got and Slide Off of Your Satin Sheets put him back on the charts.
Well, I said, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got.
Then came 1977's monster hit, Take This Job and Shove It. That song
exploded.
Take
this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
Take This Job became a battle cry for every trucker, mechanic, line cook, and working stiff who ever wanted to walk out and never come back. But Paycheck? He wasn't pretending to be pissed off at work. He was pissed off at everyone, at the label, at his band, at authority, at sobriety. And here's a wild one. In the early 80s, during a show in Kentucky, a sound guy cut his mic when he went over set time. Paycheck walked off stage, flipped over the guy's mixing table, and threw a monitor speaker into the front row. The crowd cheered because when you bought a Paycheck ticket, you weren't just buying a concert, you were gambling with chaos. Now, by 1985, it was starting to catch up to him. One night at the North High Lounge in Hillsboro, Ohio, Paycheck got into an argument with a man over a woman, or a plate of chicken, depending on the version you here. 1 minute, they're arguing. Next minute, Paycheck pulls out a .22 pistol and shoots the guy in the head. Now, miraculously, the victim survived, but Paycheck was convicted of aggravated assault and sentenced to 7 years. He served two at the Chillicothe Correctional Institute. While inside, he taught music to other inmates and even wrote songs about prison life. And in 1997, in one of the most only country music twists ever, he was pardoned by the Ohio governor. But by the time he got out, his health was fading. Years of booze, drugs, and living hard had caught up. He battled emphysema and diabetes. He went bankrupt twice. At this point, the IRS seized his tour bus and sold it at auction right in front of him. But through it all, Johnny kept playing smaller venues, country fairs. He'd show up in a wheelchair if he had to. He never stopped being Johnny Paycheck, even when the world stopped noticing. He died in 2003 at the age of 64, buried near George Jones in Nashville, which is kind of poetic. The two outlaw voices that helped shape country music laid to rest a few feet apart, probably still arguing over who drank more in the afterlife. So, what's the legacy of Johnny Paycheck? Now, he was a walking contradiction, a crooner and a brawler, a poet and a convict, a chart topper and a cautionary tale. But above all, he was real. He sang like a man who lived every line, and he had, often twice. Now, Johnny didn't just sing the honky-tonk blues, he was the honky-tonk blues. All right, now that's it for this episode of Honky Tonk Tales. I'm your host, Jimmy, and if you liked this deep dive into the wild life of Johnny Paycheck, be sure and hit that follow button, leave us a 5-star review, and share it with someone who's a little bit outlaw themselves. Until next time, keep your boots muddy, your heart honest, and your jukebox loud. Bye, y'all. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Episode music by Pine Groove Music. Additional music used in this episode by Johnny Paycheck.